grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been focusing on God's redemptive acts in these Lenten Vespers. We meditated on God's redemption of our worship, of our brotherhood, and of our witness. And you can see that all of those three things are what take place in the household of God, in the house of God. That's where we gather to worship. In the house of God, where we share brotherhood with each other and with Christ, in the house of God is the beginning of our witness. We can go out like Andrew for our brothers and respond to his questions, come and see. Luther would end up calling the church the mouth house of God. So this stop on our redemption tour is about how God has always redeemed a house for himself. I'm going to ask you to trust me on this assertion, but that the original garden was the first household of God. It's a place where man could walk and commune with God himself. Man's sins and gets kicked out of that garden, of that house of God. They have to wander east of Eden. That original house becoming corrupted, but God does redeem with his first promise. The last words in that house of God are the promise that from Eve, one will come who will crush the serpent's head. Now, mankind tries replacing the household of God in many ways. They build cities, they build technologies, fallen angels. Early Genesis is a wild book. But all of those various ways fail. But again, God gives Noah the plans for the ark and makes sure that he and his family are in it and closes the door for them. Now, that witness there in that ark doesn't stop the immediate generation following from trying to build their own tower to the heavens. But instead, God scatters them and calls Abraham and Sarah. Gives them and their family the promise. In the tents of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, God would occasionally show up and remind them of his promise. Fast forwarding, you hit the tabernacle that served as the house of God for the wilderness wanderings and all the way to David and Solomon. The Philistines managed to take the Ark of the Covenant from the Holy of Holies there, and they profane that tabernacle, but David retrieves it, and Solomon builds his temple, and the Ark is placed in it. And the presence of God was over that mercy seat. Now, once again, the Babylonians come and destroy that temple, but Cyrus sends all of those holy items back with Nehemiah, and they build a second temple. But arguably, as much as the great stones of that second temple would awe the disciples of Jesus, the presence of God is never said to have been in that temple. But what does grow are the synagogues of the diaspora. Wherever the people of God go, wherever they were driven, God was found with them. And this, I believe, is confirmed in a couple of ways. That second temple gets destroyed in AD 70, just as Jesus had predicted. Jesus was never much impressed with it. In righteous anger, saying what was supposed to be the house of God had been turned into a den of thieves. Its judgment finished when Jesus left its precincts to have supper with his disciples and to give the central mystery of the next house of God. God never completely erases everything. In that story, you can see him take pieces from one to the next. He never completely gets rid of the old. He redeems it, which is usually much tougher. It's always easier to start from scratch, to build on a greenfield site. But God redeems his house. And each redemption gets closer to that final form of his house. To the place where Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, the people of God will worship him in spirit and truth. And that final form is not made of leaves as a garden, nor of a sky like the patriarchs, nor the tent skins of the tabernacle, nor even the large stones of the temple. The final form is approached in the synagogue, that the Apostle Paul would skip from synagogue to synagogue across the diaspora, preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. But that final form was not a place. That form was the people themselves gathered in faith. That final form of God's house was the people gathered around the body and blood of Christ and themselves becoming the very body of Christ. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You have seen that he keeps his promises. He's redeemed and blessed his people from age to age. He's been with them wherever they went. And he at last sent his son, promised to Eve, to free us from that old snake. Now men might have rejected the living cornerstone, but God has planted Christ as that cornerstone of his house on earth. And you are the living stones of that house. You are the living stones, chosen and precious. Because God has redeemed you as his house. Redeemed you to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices acceptable. The honor is for you who believe, because you are the house of God. And you've been redeemed for this purpose. Because out of all of the nations and peoples of the earth, God has redeemed his to build his house. Built it that we would worship in spirit and truth. It's not a house built with hands, but it's one built by God himself through faith. One heart by one heart confessing the crucified Lord. built on Christ, the cornerstone. Whoever believes will not be put to shame. And even the sparrow finds a home. Amen.